This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas ranks 43rd in child well-being, which makes it one of the 10 worst states for kids. That's according to the Annie E. Casey 2018 Kids Count Report. This ranks states for indicators of health, education, economic well-being, and family and community. The research confirms that state leaders need to do more to help millions of children and their parents. And that includes getting an accurate census count in 2020. There is concern about the upcoming census and what happens if there is an undercount of children who are living at risk and in poverty in Texas. What concerns do you have about the upcoming census? And what is happening now if so many of these negatives that exist for Texas children continue? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 214-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Lotta Speer. She is the Assistant Director for the Policy Reform and Advocacy at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. She's a spokesperson for the Kids Count Data Book. Francis DeVinny is the Chief Operating Officer for the Center for Public Policy Priorities and a former director of its Kids Count Project. And Laura, welcome to The Source. Let me ask you about these findings in this Kids Count data book. Texas ranking 43rd, that should be alarming.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the chance to talk about our most recent data book. We did release the 2018 data book last week. We've been doing actually the Kids Count data book at the Casey Foundation since 1990, so this is our 29th report. We do it each year because we believe in the importance of lifting up what's going on with kids in every single state. We rank states based on a range of factors that influence kids' well-being in childhood as well as the chance of success later on in adulthood. And we found using those measures that Texas ranked 43rd out of the 50 states in terms of the well-being of children. The other thing that we included in this report is the fact that the upcoming census could potentially further threaten kids' well-being across the country, and especially in a place like Texas.
Yeah, we're going to try to dig into that. Well, let me see about the connection. Do you get your data for your data book from the U.S. Census?
We do. Some of the data comes from the American Community Survey, which is based on the census that we do every 10 years. We also get data from the vital records, from birth and death certificates. We get data from the National Center for Education Statistics. So we've got several different sources for our 16 measures, but they're all data that comes from federal agencies and that's comparable across the states.
So there is dependent upon the U.S. Census to get an accurate and clear-eyed view of what's really happening with populations in Texas.
That's right. The census is incredibly important for being able to know what's going on with kids. It's also important because the census is used to distribute literally billions of dollars by the federal government to states and localities. A lot of programs that are especially important for kids, kids who are low income, things like Medicaid, food stamps, Title I for schools or school funding, Head Start. So the census actually matters a lot, not only for the data, but for the resources that are distributed based on the census.
Francis DeVinny, Chief Operating Officer for the Center for Public Policy Priorities. As we look at these numbers the data that we're seeing for the youth in Texas, 43rd in well-being, problems with health, education, economic well-being, poverty, I keep thinking about how I've been told by the state demographer that there are two states of Texas. One of them is older and more affluent. The other one is much younger and tends to be living in poverty. Is that accurate?
Unfortunately, it is accurate, and there's not only an economic divide, there's also a big shift in Texas's demographics in terms of the races and ethnicities that are represented in the state. And so Texas has been a majority-minority state for over a decade, well over a decade, in the child population. And we've just became a majority-minority state not too long ago for the total population. And what we're seeing is that, you know, over time, as our state has grown, even though our state has become more and more wealthy, we are under-investing in kids. And what we spend on kids' education, kids' health, the cornerstones of what gives kids an opportunity to live their most full and best lives is going down every single budget year.
So as you say, we're a minority-majority population overall in the state, but are we a minority-majority voting population?
Yes, and in fact, most of our citizens are, most of our voters, well, let me rephrase that, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied here. Most of the people who live in Texas are citizens. And unfortunately, we do have, while we do have a big voting population, we don't have a lot of civic participation for the people who are eligible to vote. That's a big problem in Texas and something that we're working on here at the Center for Public Policy Priorities to try to increase awareness around the importance of the policies that our elected officials make and how it impacts kids' well-being that's reflected in this report.
So paint me a picture. What's the typical child who is in this Kids Count report who is dealing with these dangerous indicators of poor health, education, and economic well-being? Is that from Laura? Let me go to Laura for that.
Well, certainly the measures that we include in our report actually cover all the way from babies through young adulthood, and we cover a range of different factors.
Is this a child that tends to have a single-parent household? Is this a child that tends to live in an urban area? I mean, tell me more about this kid.
Well, the measures that we include are actually about all kids in the state.
Sure.
So when we're looking at the measures for Texas, it's really kind of what's the average kid in Texas.
Yeah, so what is the average kid in Texas?
Well, certainly, comparatively speaking to other places, the average kid in Texas does not have the same opportunities for success. I mean, Texas is ranked 43rd out of the 50 states. Francis just talked about investment in kids, and we know that investment in kids makes a difference, and that Texas lags behind other places in terms of investment in children.
And so, Francis, can you help me figure out, give me a picture. Where does this child live? What kind of circumstances do they have?
Well, about 80% of our population lives in our metro areas. And in fact, a lot of people don't realize that Texas has, I believe, three of the largest metropolitan areas, that's the top 10 metropolitan areas in the country. So we have these huge urban centers. But then, as you know, we have a broad rural area, too. So, but the opportunities, unfortunately, don't look that different, whether you're living in a rural area or an urban area. You may have access to resources in terms of availability in an urban area, but you may not be able to get to them because of transportation or accessibility or the enough resources for, like, let's say, a food bank. So these kids in Texas who are suffering the most are more likely to be children of color. They're more likely to live in an urban area. They're more likely to live in an area of concentrated poverty. That means a neighborhood where most of the people who are living around there are also struggling to make ends meet. And what that means is collectively there are fewer resources in that community, meaning often green spaces or grocery stores.
We'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. We're talking about the Kids Count Report, Childhood Poverty in Texas. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Stay tuned.
In a time of seemingly increasing intolerance, one San Antonio teacher is using the lessons of the Holocaust to encourage empathy among her students.
They see these children of the Holocaust, these faces, and they're like, oh gosh, this one's so little, he's the same age as my baby brother.
Lisa Berry was recently honored for her efforts in spreading a message of tolerance to her fifth graders. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the 2018 Kids Count Report. In the next half hour, we'll be talking about the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center Cine Festival and their 40th year. But right now, we're finding out that Texas ranks 43rd in child well-being, and it could get a lot worse because we're finding out that there's some issues in the 2020 census count that may overlook a number of these children and why that is an issue. So let's go to Laura Speer, the Assistant Director for Policy Reform and Advocacy at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Why is this upcoming census so critical?
Well, the census is important because we sort of have one shot to do it right, and it has long-lasting implications. This is a census that we do once every 10 years. It makes a difference because it informs the funding that the federal government distributes to states. It also informs infrastructure decisions. So where are we going to build new schools? Where are we going to increase the size of a hospital? And political representation, of course. Every time the census is done, some states and localities lose representatives and some gain them. So the census is important. Why we're lifting it up in this report especially is because we know from past census surveys that children, especially young children, are likely to be missed in the census, and that there's been an undercount in every census since 1980. And without any intervention, the census that's coming up in 2020 could potentially undercount more than 1 million children under the age of 5, which could be a real problem for states and localities who are trying to ensure that their kids have the best opportunity to be successful.
What happens if you miss over a million kids in the census count? What's the impact of that?
Well, certainly state and local infrastructures could lose billions of federal dollars school lunch programs, Head Start, lots of different areas. It could potentially result in overcrowded classrooms, places where they didn't really know that they didn't have a clear sense of how many young children there were when it's time for them to start kindergarten. Understaffed hospital emergency rooms, certainly access to transportation could potentially be not as good as it could be because there wasn't the correct information to make decisions. So, and also a critical point is that low-income kids, kids of color, kids in immigrant families are the ones that are the most likely to be undercounted in the census, and we know that from the research. They also often have the most to lose if they're not counted because many of the programs and services that are distributed using census information are especially important for kids who are in families that are struggling to make ends meet.
So the missing children in the census, there was a million missing in 2010. You're expecting more than a million in the 2020. These are not being missed evenly across the entire United States. You're saying that these are children who are existing probably in the most at-risk populations and the ones who need these federal dollars more than most. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It's not equal across both locations, but also families in terms of the children that are going to be missed, that could be missed in the census. There was an undercount of a million the last time around. We are hopeful that there will be action taken so that we won't have that many in the 2020 census. But given some factors that are happening on the federal side, we're concerned, and so that's why we want to lift it up in this report.
Francis DeVinney at the Center for Public Policy Priorities, where are these children? If they're missing, how do we know they're missing?
It's a great question. And what we do is we look at birth and death records. Specifically, we'll take a look at how many kids were born in Texas in a particular year and compare that to the count that's done in the census to see if there seems to be a big large swath of the population that's missing. We'll also look at death records to see about, our older population and also for any children who may have passed away during the year to kind of look at the numbers and get an accurate assessment. We'll also look at school enrollment numbers. And so using a combination of all of those different statistics, we can tell that, as Laura said, every time we've done a decennial census, there's been an undercount. And a lot of times it's because there are newly developed neighborhoods that are missed that the Census Bureau is not aware of. They're in multifamily housing units that are harder to get responses at. There may be more families who are homeless that are harder to access. There's a lot of different reasons, but it certainly affects children the most.
The number to call in if you want to join our conversation as we're talking about the upcoming census and trying to get an accurate count, particularly of our at-risk children here in Texas. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Recently, we've been hearing a lot about questions of this citizenship question that will be on the census. Right now it's been ordered to be on the census or trying to get it removed, but even if they do get it removed, it seems like that's enough to spook some people from participating in the census. So Laura Speer, do you think this citizenship question in this year's census is going to make your job even harder?
Most experts would say that one of the things that's, I think, the most unnerving about it is that we don't really know, because the Census Bureau did not have time to test the question. I mean, they do very thorough testing on every single question that goes on the census because they really matter. It's a very high-stakes endeavor. So they weren't able to test it. I think we're concerned that the addition of the citizenship question will potentially cause more children to be missed, because across the country, and especially in a place like Texas, tens of millions of children live in an immigrant family. And they themselves could be U.S. citizens, usually are U.S. citizens, but they might have a parent or somebody else in the household who's not. So if the whole household gets missed, that child is not going to be counted, and we want to make sure that they are.
And Laura?
And I'd like to jump in here, David, if you don't mind, because
yes.
I think a really important factor here, too, is when Laura's talking about children who live in immigrant families, we're not just talking about kids who may have an undocumented parent, of which there are, you know, quite a few, but also kids who have legally authorized parents who live in this country who may have a green card or a work permit or a work visa or whatever. And because of the kind of growing anti-immigrant climate in this country, I think even folks who are here under perfectly legal circumstances would be spooked to answer the census. And we really need to know how many people are in each district so we can get enough money to pave the roads to deal with, you know, how many cars are on the roads, and we can get enough money to be able to support health care and all of these things that all the people will be using. And I think what people don't really realize is that with a 1% undercount, Texas stands to lose $300 million a year. $300 million a year. That can be direct service grants they're given to communities directly. It's money that goes directly into the state budget. And that's when you talk about high stakes, that's high stakes.
Let's go to the calls. This is Angel. Angel or Angel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How you doing? Okay. And she might have just answered my question, but my question was, since they use birth certificates and death certificates to kind of find discrepancies between the census numbers, Why do we not use birth and death certificate numbers to calculate for the population?
All right, great question, Angel. Thank you for the call. Laura?
It is a good question. And for one, there's immigration. That's a reason, and migration between states. So just using birth and death records really wouldn't do everything we needed to do. And there's really nothing that can replace the census that we do every 10 years. It's the only survey that we do in the country that's actually that is mandated to count every single person who lives in the country. It's the only thing that we do, and it's actually used as the baseline for hundreds of other surveys because we need to know that sort of overall population number, and the census that we do every 10 years is the only way for us to do that.
So you want state officials to get involved in making sure that there is an accurate count, Laura?
We do. We have a few things as recommendations in our report. Certainly, state and local officials can play a big role in this. The state can, and local localities can allocate their own resources to do outreach. They can be on the front line getting people to feel comfortable with the census form and to encourage them to fill it out. We also, you know, and it's not only them, actually. We really want to lift up the trusted messengers, people who work in child care centers, people who work in schools, in libraries, pediatricians. There are many other people who can help to ensure that folks know that the census, it's safe to fill out the census form, it's important to fill out the census form, and why.
I want to get back to the original finding from the Kids Count report about the high number of children that we have living at risk in Texas. And Francis DeVinney at the Center for Public Policy, this is a huge demographic shift that we have in the state of Texas, a maturing population that has grown up in poverty with bad schools, bad access to health care. What does that mean for the future of Texas?
It's such an important question. I'm glad you asked that. If we continue to have the bottom 10 worst outcomes for our kids, that means that our future workforce, that our future leaders are not going to have those foundational elements of good health, education, opportunity, to be able to be the next leaders for Texas. That is inevitably going to impact our ability to continue bringing in business into Texas and bringing in new jobs. And Texas currently is one of the biggest states for interstate migration, meaning people moving here from other states. That can't continue if we refuse to invest in our own people.
And Laura Speer with the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and talk about the trend. What is the trend?
Well, overall, there's actually been some progress for kids across the country, and even in Texas. One of the highlights in this year's report was the improvement in the health insurance coverage rate for kids in Texas. I mean, the state still is higher than the national average by about double, but what it proves is that we actually can make a difference if there's the commitment to invest and the public will to kind of pass the policies that we know will make a difference for children. We're making progress on many of the measures. There's still a lot of room for improvement.
So when you say that the bright spot is that there are more children who are getting access to health care and health insurance, I mean, is that because they have CHIP and they have the Affordable Care Act coverage? What happens when those things go away? And there's talk in Washington, D.C., serious talk by the ruling party to do that.
Yeah, it would be a bad thing. There's no doubt about it. When we look at the data across the country, almost entirely the improvements that we've seen in children with health insurance has been through public programs, because fewer and fewer people have access to employer-sponsored health insurance coverage. That's a national trend. Certainly the case also in Texas. So if these public programs go away, these kids will not have access to health insurance. And we know that makes a huge difference for them, not only in their own health and development, but in the likelihood that their parent is going to be able to continue to go to work and not have to stay home with the child. The economic strain on the family from health insurance, from health care, we know is really expensive. So it's important. We need to continue to support CHIP, Medicaid expansion, and the Affordable Care Act. These are things that have made a difference for millions of children across the country.
So if we have this huge number not being counted in the census, a lot of these people don't want to be counted in the census. Do we as a community need to get the message out that you need to participate in the census? Is that what needs to happen, Laura?
Absolutely, yes. The census is important. The census is safe. There's the privacy protections around the census is at the very highest of any government program. It's important not only because it matters for us and our data. We love data, but that's really not the bottom line here. It's that really everybody has the right to be counted and represented, especially including kids.
Especially kids. That's all right. So, Laura Spear, thank you so much for joining us from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Francis DeVinney with the Center for Public Policy Priorities. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the Cine Festival. They're 40 years old. They've got a whiz-bang program for this weekend. We're going to be talking about that. Give us a call. Questions about San Antonio filmmakers, 210-614-8980. The source continues.